All right, New Testament book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, chapter number 25. I'll read just the first four verses here, and I'll continue on with the story and explain it, but I feel that that's all the scripture we'd need to read tonight. The Bible says here in Matthew 25, verse number 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps." You might be seated tonight. Now, of course, this is a parable that we're reading here where Jesus, He taught many times in parables to get the people to understand. He talked in their kind of sense, almost like a old-fashioned man. You know, they say, "Well, I'm just a country boy, so I got to give it to you in country terms." And this is what the Lord was doing. He was giving it to them in their terms where they could understand it. And it was an earthly story to help them understand, but it all had a heavenly message. And here it was. He started out and said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this." In other words, He said, "I want you to listen up. I'm going to tell you what heaven's going to be like. And this is just a little glimpse or just a part of what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's going to be likened unto this." He said there was 10 virgins and said that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. We read here where it said that 5 of them that were foolish, they took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil with them. But the 5 wise took their lamps and took some oil. And then it goes on to say, as they was waiting for the bridegroom to come, it said that as the bridegroom tarried, that they slumbered and they slept, and they waited for the bridegroom to come. And then he came. There a man ran out and said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And then they awoke and they rose up, and the 5 foolish looked, and the 5 wise, it said, they trimmed their lamps, and it came, and the 5 foolish said, "We don't have any oil." He said, "Let us have some of your oil that we may have enough for when the bridegroom comes." But the 5 wise said unto him, "We can't give you our oil unless when the bridegroom comes we don't have some for ourselves." He said, "Go unto them that sell the oil and buy it, and then you might have enough oil." Well, the Bible goes on to say in this parable, as they went away to buy the oil, the bridegroom came, and those that was ready, those wise that had the oil, they took them into the chamber there where they was having the feast, where they had the marriage supper. And then those that went to buy the oil came back, and they knocked on the door, and the man opened the door, and they said, "Let us in." And they said, "We don't know you." They said, "We know you not. Depart from us, for I know you not." And that's the parable of what heaven's going to be like, talking about those that are not saved, that when they come to the kingdom, when it comes time for them to give an account for their life. And it says over in Matthew 2, over where it says over there, that they come and said, "Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works? We done all these things. We cast out devils. We preached. We witnessed. We did all these things for you." And he said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I know you not." And that's how it's going to be when we come to the end of the way. But here I want to take these 5 or these 10 virgins here and talk about the 5 wise and talk about the 5 foolish just for a minute if I could. And now most people preach as these 5 wise being the saved, born again, a child of God. And they preach the 5 foolish as being the lost, those have never been saved. And surely that's right tonight. But I want to look at something else on these 5 foolish. I don't think that there was just any ordinary lost person, because if you look at their location, if you look at what they was doing, they was doing the same thing the other folks was doing. So I'd have to declare that these 5 foolish was religious people. They're the religious crowd, those that think they're saved, those that go to church day after day and sit on the pew Sunday after Sunday. They pay their tithes. They dress right. They try to live right. They try to do right. And here it is. They was in the same place as the 5 wise, those that had the oil. And they was in the same place with them. They was all there for the same reason, but to wait for the bridegroom to come. And so they was all in the same building. They was all there for the same reason. We all came tonight and this morning to worship God and to lift up His holy name. And we're here waiting and looking and longing for the bridegroom to come. But I'd have to declare there's some among us that are like these 5 foolish. They're doing the same things we're doing. They're coming to church with us. They're sitting on the pews with us. But they do not have oil in their lamp. When it come time to give an account for what was in their soul, they did not have the oil. And the oil we know in the Bible is a type of the Holy Ghost, or here a type of salvation. And some of those that are coming in today to the church house have never been saved. They got a type of religion. They got a little bit of religion, but they don't have God. They got a form of godliness, but they deny the power desire thereof. They try to do just right, and they look at the saved folks and they try to fit into them. Say, well, Brother John does this, and so I guess I need to do that, and then I'll be alright. But that don't save you. You got to have the oil, and if you don't have the oil, you cannot get into the marriage supper. Amen. When the bridegroom comes, if you ain't ready, if you don't have the oil, you will not enter in. But he'll say unto you, depart from me, I know you not. But look at the religion here. I want to look at this religious crowd just for a little while. And now religion today is killing America. It's killing people. It's killing those that thought they was Christians. It's giving them a false hope, dealing them a fake and telling them that they're all right. And it's killing folks and sending them to hell in a handbasket, and they have no remorse over it. Ask me how I know that. Well, because the preacher down at the big church and some of these other churches, they'll take the money from the people. They'll take the cottage or the house or the parsonage that they got for them. They'll take that Cadillac and drive down the road, and they'll make sure their wallet is stuffed full of your money, and they'll never preach you the truth. They'll never preach the Word of God. They'll never preach on salvation. They'll never warn you and tell you that you got to have the oil. Now, here it is. We know how the religious crowd preaches if we look at these people, the type of what they had. Now, they had the lamp, so it looked like they was going to be okay. It looked like they had all they needed. Well, the five wives, they got a lamp, and they're going to be okay. And we got a lamp, so we must be all right too. But look here, that's what religion says. Religion tells you, just take the lamp, and you'll be all right. In other words, come up here and sign this card, or just take the lamp, amen. And they say, you'll be all right. Or they'll say, come and be baptized in our pool right here. If you ain't baptized in our church, you can't get to heaven. In other words, they're saying, just take the lamp. All you need is a lamp, but they're leaving out the Holy Ghost. Or they'll come up and say, repeat after me. When you pray this prayer, we don't want you to pray what's on your heart, but we want you to pray this, this, and this. And if you don't, then you ain't going to heaven when you die. And so they'll repeat after me. In other words, take the lamp, amen. They tell them, all you need is a lamp, but they leave out the Holy Ghost. They say, come up front and make a decision. Who tonight wants to make a decision for Christ? Come on up front and make that decision that you're going to live for God, amen. That's a new thing they got going on now, I guess. But they say, just come up front and make a decision. In other words, they say, just take the lamp. That's all you need. As long as you got your lamp, you'll be all right. They come up and say, if you'll just do right, if you'll just live right, if you'll just try to live for God and just try to do your best and be a good old boy, when you die, you'll go to heaven, sure enough. In other words, just take the lamp. And so religion preaches the wrong thing. They tell you, just take the lamp. But I'll declare unto you tonight, if you ain't got oil for your lamp, it cannot burn, amen. If you ain't got oil, the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you, all these things are in vain. You cannot do anything else to get into heaven. You must first be born again by the grace of God. You must have the oil in your lamp. Notice that religion always leaves out the most important thing. They always leave out the oil. They'll preach all these other things, and they'll make it sound pretty, and they'll make it sound great, and they'll tell you how easy it is, and it is easy to get saved. All you got to do is come up and get the oil, amen. But they try to tell you a different way, and they try to preach to you a different doctrine, and it's altogether wrong. Without the oil, without the Holy Ghost, everything else is vain. And now let me tell you that works tonight cannot save you. Everything you try to do is good and fine, and you can try to do your best, but it cannot save you. It will not get you into heaven. You can hand out all the tracts you want. You can go to all the church meetings you want. You can go to all the revivals and camp meetings and things, and all that's good and fine. And I think you need to do it, amen. But it will not save you. You can come in the church and join up with the church. You can teach Sunday school. You can sing in the choir. You can pay your tithes and offerings. You can do all these things. You can read your Bible and pray. But unless you got the oil, you cannot get saved. Your works, everything that you could do, will not get you in. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, amen. It can't measure up. Matter of fact, let me say that again. I quoted it wrong. It says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Not just our righteousness, all of it. And not just one thing, not just two. But if you take all of our righteousness from day one when we're born until we die and add it all together, it's still would not be enough. It still would be filthy rags in the sight of God. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. Works cannot get you in. You will not go to heaven on your good merit. You're trying to do right things. That's good and fine. But you cannot get saved by that. You must have the oil applied. Water cannot save you. We've been teaching back here at Sunday school on symbolizations. And one thing we taught on a couple of weeks ago is baptism. Some of them wanted to know what it was and what it meant and wanted to know if it'd save a man. Had some people come up and hand them tracts and tell them if you'll just be baptized, everything would be all right. But we showed them through the Word of God that baptism cannot save you. Baptism is a symbolization. It's an outward show of what's already taken place on the inside. How you died to Christ, risen again in the newness of life, walking in the newness of life. You risen with Christ, amen. And that's what baptism is. It's showing the people on the outside what's already happened on the inside. But a lot of churches and a lot of denominations are out there preaching, you got to be baptized to make it into heaven. And they're preaching a false doctrine, and they will be held accountable for that, I believe, when it comes to the end of time. But water cannot save a man. It don't matter how many times you get dunked in a pool. It don't matter if you get sprinkled. It don't matter if you're down at the river. I don't care where you are. All it does, if you ain't never been saved, is get you wet. And you cannot get into heaven on water baptism. Amen. Amen. Water cannot save you. I'll say tonight that wealth cannot save you. No money, no amount of money in the world can save you. And no matter how much you got, the richest man in the world, when it comes to the end of time and he's standing before judgment there in front of the Almighty God and says, well, I got all of this money. It's not going to add up. I like what Brother Toby said. You think money means something to God? He paves the streets with the asphalt he uses up there is gold. Amen. It don't mean nothing to him. Your wealth and your riches, it don't mean nothing. He's got enough cattle. He don't even count them by the heads. He counts them by the heels at the graze on. Amen. And he said that in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He didn't say rooms. Amen. King James Bible says mansions. He said there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he went on top of that and said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. And so it's got to be something, I think, even better than the mansions. Amen. If the mansion's already there and he's going to prepare a place for us. Amen. I just think what kind of place it's going to be, amen. Now, down here, I ain't got much money, and I ain't got what much wealth. Even if I did, though, it wouldn't help me, amen. And tonight I got saved, if it required me of having $1 million, a matter of fact, if it required me having $1, I wouldn't have had it, amen. Thank God you can't get in on your wealth, and we ought to be glad of that tonight. Don't be upset about that. We ought to be glad the price has already been paid. Jesus paid the price on Calvary's Hill, amen. It was not a free. It wasn't cheap, but it is free unto us. It cost heaven its very best. The darling Son of God, amen. But your wealth tonight, no matter how much you can acquire, no matter how much you got, it ain't going to be appealing to God, and it will not get you into heaven. Amen. But religion will preach these things unto you. Now this works, nothing wrong with it. Water baptism, nothing wrong with it. Having money, ain't nothing wrong with it. But it ain't going to get you into heaven. The only thing that'll get you there is the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that oil? You got to have the oil in your lamp. If you just got the lamp, that's good and fine. But it won't get you into the marriage supper. You got to have oil in your lamp. Now, I want to look here, verse number 8 and number 9. And the Bible says here, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil. They said, our lamps went out. We don't have any oil. Verse number 8 or number 9 says, but with the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Yes. Well, let me go ahead and say this. It don't matter if your daddy's saved. It don't matter if your mama's saved. It don't matter if your daddy's a preacher or your daddy's a deacon or if your mama teaches Sunday school. You cannot get in on somebody else's oil.
Amen.
You can't borrow somebody else's salvation to get in. Here it is. They was asking, hey, let us have some of your oil that we might get in also. And that's not going to work. You got to do it yourself. It's a personal dealing just between you and God. And nobody else can help you. My child can't get in on my oil. I would she could. I would to God she could. That'd be great and fine with me. But it don't work that way, Brother John. And I'm sure you feel the same about your children. But it don't work that way when it comes time that God deals with their heart. And they're going to have to make that move. And they're going to have to to come up front and kneel down before an almighty God. And they're going to have to get the oil, amen. They're going to have to get the Holy Ghost and get saved by the grace of God. I can't do nothing for them. I can try to point and lead the way, but I can't save them, and they can't use my oil to get in. And so what I'm trying to say tonight is if you've never been saved, you need the oil tonight, and you better go get it, amen, because you can't borrow it from somebody else. You got to get it from the one that has it. Amen. And there's only one that sells the oil, amen. If you don't have the oil, you got to go to the one that has a supply tonight. And there's only one that has a supply. If you're looking for the oil, there's one that has it. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. He has a supply. And don't worry about Him running out. Don't worry about it being a short supply. You just come on up there, and He's got plenty of oil, amen. If you want some holy, if you want the Holy Ghost, you want to be saved by the grace of God, there's plenty of oil tonight, and God has a supply, and there's only one way to get it, amen. You're going to have to go through the blood, amen, and that's the only way to get saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to go through the blood, and you're going to have to go through His sacrifice, the sacrifice that was paid on Calvary's Hill over there long years ago when He gave His life for us and laid His life down to ransom for sin, amen, and He died there, and they buried Him 3 days, and He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And if you want the oil, there's only one way to get it, and that's to go through His sacrifice, shed blood of Jesus Christ, amen. And there's only one price tonight, amen, and that's His free, amen. You don't have to have any money to get it. It's free. Over there in Isaiah chapter 55 and 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price," amen. It's without money and it's without price. It said, for those that have no money, come and buy, amen. You want the oil and you say, I can't afford to get it. If you don't have no money, you're in the perfect place to get the oil, amen. It's come and buy, amen. The oil's here and it's one price and that's free, amen. All you got to do is come and get it. He that hath no money, just come and get it. Come and buy, amen. Well, thank God. Well, there's some things you have to do even after you get the oil. Now, I preached to the lost for a little while. Let me preach to you folks that are saved. There's some things you got to do after you have the oil. If you look, let me get back to my place. If you look with us down here, it says in verse number 7, it said, and when the bridegroom came, they come out and said, come and meet him. Verse number 7 said, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Even after you get saved, there's some trimming on that lamp you have to do. There's some things you have to do. Now, see, when a lamp, the way they had them back then, and you see them sometimes still around, those oil lamps that they had, and they had the wick that goes in there, it soaks up the oil and it burns. Well, after it burns for a good while, you got to take and get all the soot and all the burnt stuff. You got to cut it off, and so it'll light back up, and the light will just go dim till it goes out if you don't trim them up, if you don't keep them clean. Well, that's the way we got to do as Christians. After we get saved, after God comes into our heart, after we get the oil, we got to keep that lamp trimmed, amen, so it'll keep on burning. And that's what they call a self-examination. You got to examine yourself. You got to look at the life that you live in and make sure that you're lined up with God and keep your eyes on Him. Amen. Lamentations 3 and 40 says, let us search out and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11 and 28, the first part of that says, but let a man examine himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, it says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. And know ye not that you are your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Here it is. I like that in verse 5. First he says, examine yourself. And then he said, prove yourself. And then he said, know that you're not yourself. Amen. You're not your own. Thank God. That's the way we got to live our life as Christians. We got to examine ourselves. Know that Jesus is a plumb line. He's the one we need to examine ourselves to. We need to compare ourselves to Him, not to one another. Amen. And not to the person down the the robe but to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, trim that lamp down, amen. Examine yourself, it said. And then it said, prove yourself. Thank God. Then it said, know that you're not your own self, but Jesus Christ is within you, amen. We got to understand that we're not our own, amen. We've been bought with a price, amen. Jesus Christ paid the price for us that are saved, and us that are saved, we better examine ourselves and make sure we're living right, amen. Sometimes it's easy to let that wick burn and burning and slumber and sleep and forget about it, but we better wake up and we better trim that light that our light may shine, amen. If you don't have that lamp trimmed, Brother Thomas, guess what? Folks ain't going to see your light. And Jesus said, let your light so shine. Thank God, don't hide it under a bushel, but let it shine, amen. We need to examine ourselves, trim off that old man of sin, or trim off that sin, trim off those weights, amen, and that are easily beset us. Yes. Trim off these things that dim down our life. As Christians, we got to understand that our life is not our own. Thank God. Examine yourself. Prove yourself. Know that you're not your own self, amen. We're in Christ Jesus, and He's in us. And our life that we now live is through Him. And we got to focus our attention on that, amen. We need to keep our eyes in the right place and make sure we're focused in the right areas and make sure our lamps are trimmed that they may be burning when He comes back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'll say this in closing tonight. You can try to do everything just right. You can try to make sure you're doing things that a Christian's supposed to do. You can throw your TVs out. You can pay your tithes. Women can quit wearing their breeches and start wearing dresses, and that's good and fine. And I'm all for it, amen. Man can throw away the tank tops and short breeches, amen, and start wearing what they need to wear, and that's good. I'm glad. I hope you do that, amen. But that's not going to save you. You can try to do all these things. You can try to do everything just right. You can come in, put on a suit and tie, make sure everything looks just right, got your Sunday best on, you come in, everybody looks like a Christian to me, and that's all good and fine, and I'm glad you do that. But I want you to understand that that will not save you.
That's right.
If you don't have the oil, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot enter into the kingdom. You'll be like these men when they got there and knocked on the door. They said, depart from us, we know you not. So the only way to get in tonight is they come with a song. The only way to get in, the only thing that can save you is the grace of God.
That's right.
Through His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the sacrifice that He paid on Calvary's hill, through His resurrection. Amen. If He didn't fulfill all these scriptures, everything we're doing is in vain. But He fulfilled all scripture. And that's the only way you can get saved, is through the sacrifice Jesus paid there on the cross. I wonder tonight, do you have oil in your lamps? Are you ready? If so, is your lamp trimmed where it can be burning? A lot of times we get cold on God, we get backslid, and our lamps begin to die out. We're not as sold out as what we used to be. We don't read our Bibles like we used to, and things of that nature. And that's all things. It's smothering our lamp, and it's putting that light out. We need to examine ourselves tonight, those that are saved. Trim those lamps up and live for Christ, knowing that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Christ Jesus is within us, and we're in Him. Amen. I beg of you tonight, if you don't have the oil, you know where to get it. Just come and buy. If you wait too long, you'll be like these men that tarried and they waited too long. By the time they went to get the oil and got back, it was too late. When the Lord comes back, it's too late to pray then. You've wasted your opportunity. So today is the day of salvation. Right now's the hour. Now's the time. You better work while it's day, because night cometh when no man's going to work. And the Bible says Jesus come as a thief and a robber. No man knows when He's coming back. He said over there in the chapter before where I read, in this chapter 24, He said that the angels in heaven don't know. My Father only knows when the Son of God's coming back. And so you better be ready. And you might as well go ahead today, while today's the day of salvation. Make your calling and election sure. Amen. Get saved while there's still chance. Come and buy the oil. Amen. Come and get it. Amen. Y'all sing.